Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you are the God who does not change, and your goodness endures forever. As we open and hear your word today, help us to know who you are and who we are. Open our eyes so that we might see your ways. Engage our minds so that we might understand your ways. Soften our hearts that we might love your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. So for those of you who are new, little different today. You did great with the background tapes, by the way. That was great. Thank you so much, Pierre, for leading us in that. Just anytime Pierre sings is a good day for me. We do something different with our preaching space in the service when I'm up here. We're doing something called communal preaching. And really, we're just identifying the fact that I'm not the only one with the Holy Spirit in the room. There are plenty of other beautiful, faithful people who may well, in this moment, receive a word from the Lord as to what is being shown in his scripture. So we're going to hear God's word together. We're going to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to proclaim God's word together. The flow of the service goes like this. Hugh, if you wouldn't mind putting on that slide there. Four parts to a communal sermon. And the good news is you're only part of two of them, okay? So I do the first and the last. The middle section is where you'll have opportunity, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, no pressure, no obligation, but there will be an open mic and you'll be able to share. What is God teaching you that he needs you to share with the rest of us? So you'll have an opportunity to share your reflections on the scripture with us. And then we're going to kind of throw some things on the dry erase board based on what you've said and see what are we hearing God telling us. And then I'm going to wrap it up with my little final part. And hopefully what I'm thinking this passage has to say to us will line up with what you have said, and we'll really go forth very equipped to, take it to the streets. That's what we're going to be looking at today. I like to say that if you don't like the sermon today, you're 50% responsible. Sorry. Okay, but one way to frame this for you too, Nicolette over here, who's one of our counselors, early when we started doing this, said, you know, it's different for me. I've always received a monological style sermon where the preacher delivers an exposition on the text. And she loves that because, you know, you take away something good. You know you're going to get something good. But what she said about this kind of communal preaching is that she's thinking throughout. Thinking, not just waiting to receive, but actually thinking and hopefully going home and continuing to think, how is God moving this word in your own heart? Okay, ready? Ready to do this? I need the kids in the room. Yes! We're ready. All right, so this is the sermon that I've been itching to get to in so many ways. We did a sermon series a couple of, 6 to 8 weeks ago, Mike, called What is the Gospel? And we really emphasized is that we believe in a King Jesus gospel, right? When the good news was announced back in Jesus' day, that term good news actually referred to the announcement of a new king, a new Caesar. Good news, everybody who are downtrodden. There's a new king for you, a new Caesar. And then when Jesus comes along and shares good news, very different kind of king, right? And that's good news, different kind of king. But I kept wondering, okay, how do I take this to the streets? How do I share the King Jesus gospel with actual people in 2024, right? So there was one proposed statement we could make. It went something like this. There's a new king, Jesus, and his kingdom of heaven is breaking into our world, bringing victory over all that's wrong, sin, death, evil. Do you want to give your allegiance to him? Anyone? How does that land? How does that land, right? So many of you know I wasn't raised in the church, so I have a lot of, I think like a non-believer in many ways, I think. So, okay, I'm sitting here, I'm a skeptic, I don't know what you're talking about. Like so many people in our day and age, never went to church, wasn't even dragged to church as a kid, right? Church is not on the map for a lot of people, right? So, okay, a kingdom, a new kingdom's breaking in. Great. Do it. What does it have to do with me, right? That's one thought. And then, okay, a new kingdom is breaking through. Really? It's not very effective from what I can tell. I'm seeing a lot of sickness. I'm seeing a lot of war. I mean, great. What kind of kingdom is that? What about this one? Oh, I love that. I'm a doctor. I'm working against the effects of disease on people, and I always march when I can to fight against injustice. I'm with you. Ultimately, what does this kingdom breaking in have to do with me? Right? Okay, if it's already broken in, let it do its thing. Whatever. Right? So here we are in the Gospel of Mark, our next sermon series, and we're going to look at today, how did actual followers of Jesus back then share the good news, right? How were they instructed to share this good news? And what tips can we have? What advice can we receive to shape how we share the message today? And what's beautiful is that back then, the disciples were sharing to people they never heard about Jesus, right? Like so many of our neighbors. And they're also sharing it as very inexperienced evangelists. Anyone here an inexperienced evangelist? Jeff, yes, own it. Not after today, brother. Well, you won't have the experience yet. But yeah, I mean, these disciples, they didn't know what they were doing, right? They weren't experienced at sharing this message. And yet, they're sent on their way to do this very thing. So throughout this message that we're doing together, the question I want us to be thinking about is this: when sharing the good news, the gospel, what have we been doing wrong? And what have I been doing wrong? What have you been doing wrong? And how can you and I do better? That's it. So before we get into our text, which is in Mark chapter 6, page, this is great, 7-11, bodes well for us today, right? 7-11, grab your Bibles and get that opened up. Mark chapter 6 we're going to be looking at ultimately. But to prepare the way a little bit for us, we need to look at three figures, three groups of gospel witnesses, if you may, that will instruct us. So, chapter 1, very beginning of this gospel, there is no manger, there are no wise men, you know, there is no birth of Jesus. It begins with this guy, John the Baptist, who was called to prepare the way for Jesus. So chapter 1, verse 4, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, listen to what he says to people, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. After John was put in prison, we don't know why was he put in prison? He's gone. That guy who went before Jesus preparing the way, he's gone. And it says Jesus, in verse 14, went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. Here's his message. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And immediately after that, in chapter 1, Jesus is going to call his disciples, Simon and Andrew, you know, they're out there fishing. And he says, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. They dropped everything and went to do that. So our passage is when they're actually sent out to start fishing for those people. Okay, so shall we read it? Mark chapter 6, verses 6 through 13, page 7-11. Context is always super important, right? Y'all know what that is. So you want to read kind of what's going before, what's coming after the passage that you're studying, because it's often very, very helpful to interpret what's coming next. So before we read our passage, let's just notice the first few verses in chapter 6. Jesus is trying to share the news in his hometown, Nazareth. Goes to the synagogue where the religious people learn more about God. And what happens to him? Anyone? Did it go well for him or not well? Yeah. Not well. They took offense at him. That's kind of sobering. And then he says, okay, we're going to leave that scene. Oh, sorry, Mike, what am I doing? Oh, it's all falling off. Okay. So he says, all right, we're going to leave that scene. We're going to go to the villages. And he's like, how about you guys do it? So Jesus has just had trouble in his hometown. And he's going to call these disciples to go do it. I mean, keep that in the back of your mind as these guys get their instructions. All right? They took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. Jesus could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. All right. So let's read our passage and then we'll explore what comes after for a moment. So then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. I'm going to read it again before we have you guys reflect for a few moments quietly and then share what the Holy Spirit is teaching you about our big questions. When sharing the good news, what have we been doing wrong? How can we do better? And what does this text tell us in answer to that, okay? So what follows is a really interesting literary device that Pastor Stephen introduced us to last week. It's called an intercalation. It's one of the literary features of the book of Mark, and it really is like a sandwich. So he's going to throw these seemingly disconnected things together. So we just learned that disciples are being sent out. And all of a sudden, we're going to find out about why it is that John the Baptist was thrown in jail, right? Remember that little thing was dropped in the first chapter? We didn't have any information there. And now we're going to learn that John the Baptist, who one might say would be a pretty solid person to explain truth, Christian truth, right, to people listening. He's gets in big trouble with the political leader, right? He's going to take on the king, King Herod. And he says, you know, it's not according to our law that you married your brother's wife, Herodias. And Herodias didn't like that much either. So you can read the story, but basically she finds a pathway to get John the Baptist executed. And so John the Baptist is gone. And then we have verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught, which connects with the passage I read you, right? So they're sent out and they do their thing and they come back and tell what, you know, they had experienced. And you got this John the Baptist thing in the middle. Why? Right? So we want to consider that as we listen to our scripture again. We're going to pause for a few moments of silence. Then I'd love to hear what God is showing you through his Holy Spirit about how we can do the sharing of this good news better. Okay? Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that many should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So with the reflection question before you, the text in your heart, and some thoughts about the context, let's all sit for a moment. How can we do the sharing of the good news better? So I would love to hear from some of you about what you have maybe not done as well as you would have liked in sharing the gospel, and what this text helps us to consider as a more effective pathway. As we share, just a reminder, we're aiming for 1 minute. For some of you, that will mean aim for 30 seconds, right? And some of you, about 10 of us, will share. And just a reminder that, you know, Jesus heard a lot of things. Some of them were probably a little shocking to his listeners. So don't be alarmed if you hear something that strikes you as off or insensitive or just incorrect. We will be praying for that person. We have a great team that would love to come around anyone who is sorting through some things. But our goal is, for those who love Jesus, to share what the Holy Spirit's teaching you. We're not going to indict, accuse, or challenge anybody in this space with that in mind, that Jesus heard a lot of things and so can we. Yes? Agreed? If you aren't comfortable taking the mic, and Chris, thank you so much for being willing to pass the mic, there are note cards in your seats. You can jot down your observations there. So I'd love to hear someone share, what have you not done so well? How can we do better?
Good morning, everyone. So what I wrote is that we can do better at being more proximate to those who are sick. The last verse said that they were casting out the unclean spirits and anointing the sick. But you can't anoint people that are sick if you're not close to them, if you're not proximate to them. And so how are we making sure that we're around those folks? And then the other thing that I realize is that a lot of times we try to sell people on Jesus instead of just sharing. And so the share, don't sell. And then don't take offense if people kind of are not accepted. They kind of just brush that dirt off your shoulder, like Jay-Z said, and keep it pushing.
There's a lot in there, Renee. Thank you. Usually Renee is passing the mic, but it's good to hear you. So I heard three main things. Proximate, so being near. I love that. Share, don't sell. And then what was the last bit? Oh yeah, kick the dust. You know, you're gonna be rejected sometimes, right? It's move on, right? So how would I say that? Is that okay? If I could draw a foot shaking dust off, I would, but I can't. Thank you.
Good morning, folks. As soon as we read the scripture, some things came to mind, because for people who know me, I obviously have explained before that I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness household for like 17 years of my life. And a big thing, obviously, people know is that, you know, different times throughout the week, Jehovah's Witnesses go door to door, and it's like an operation. And through that, right, obviously I didn't start off in the right spot, but coming to where I am now, two things stand out. And that one is that growing up, I always viewed sharing the good news or sharing the Bible, it was always kind of explained to me as like just an exchange of information. Like, you give them this information and they take it. And if not, you did everything you need to do. That's it. You know, it doesn't really put much on your soul. It's kind of just once they got the information, that's all. The thing that stands out is that there's a lot more at stake than just giving information, obviously, and we have souls to save. So we can't just view it as, oh, I told this person and that's it. Maybe they do reject it, but we still should have them in prayer. We should still, you know, make space when possible. And the other quick thing that came to mind was we can't, again, minimize the idea that it is good news. It's not, I know I already kind of said it, but it's not just information. It's not just words on a page. There's something a lot more profound to it, and we need to be tactful and loving in how we present that, because it's not just literature. It's not just words. It's much deeper, much more profound.
Alex, just thank you so much for sharing, and so glad to see how your journey's played out. I want y'all to picture like a sun behind this. Good news, good news. You're right. This is good news. This isn't, you know, gosh, I have to break something to you, right? That's unwelcome. Thank you. And I'd love to just, as you find the next person, Chris, you know, it's not over for the person. And we can, by faith, be in prayer and just be hoping that the next person that knocks on the door, as it were, is a better fit, or that seed that's been planted is ready to sprout. Thank you.
So UT and I have been thinking through about how to serve in a certain capacity, but mm-hmm. we keep saying how. We don't have time to even live. And if you know me, you know that I like to prepare months in advance. And I also like to make sure that I set up things for the best possible outcome. So that's how we live our life. But I also think for the last several months, God's been putting something on their heart. And then when I just read this, I heard, don't overthink it, keep it simple, and just go do it.
Wow. And what you prepare and how you execute is amazing, but keep it simple, don't overthink. You had something else, Patricia?
Just do it.
Like a Nike swoop here. That I might be able to draw. Wow, I need my son to help here. Yeah, just do it. That's great. You know, I was thinking about this style of sermon, so appropriate, right? You know, in what they're doing, really cold calling, you don't know what's going to be on the other side, right? There is such a just do it and leave some results out there. You can't over prepare. You just never know, right? We don't know what's going to be said next. Who's got the mic? John Durgan. It's going to be awesome what is said.
Good morning, folks. To me, I just want to reiterate with the last two speakers and just add something to what they said, because it was all good. And what I got as they were speaking, what Alex was speaking, I got follow-up. You know, actually just follow up with people. And with the girl over here, I'm sorry if I don't know your names, but come prepared to share the word. I mean, you got to do your homework. You got to know what you're talking about, because you're gonna stumble if you don't, and people will more likely reject you and what you're trying to teach them. So, yeah, come prepared, know what you're talking about, pray on what you're doing, and, yeah, again, follow-up is very important.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I mean, it's attention, right? I mean, in a way, we cannot be prepared for everything that's going to be asked of us. We'll explain this, that, or the other. But, and this is what I'm hoping we'll get to as we think about this. What would you say? You know, what is your opening line, right? I mean, cold callers, Google it, right? They've got, you know, a checklist. So I think that's what you're getting at, you know? Know what you, where you're aiming. What is essential? Yeah, that's great. Jess?
Hello, good morning. What stuck out to me was the word authority that Jesus had given the disciples. And I was reminded that every time Jesus spoke to the people, they were amazed that he spoke with authority. And that is part of what attracted even like the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. It showed. And so I feel like I definitely need to speak with more authority. And authority means, I think, you really know of what you're speaking. And to be honest, a lot of the people before me shared and touched on this in terms of what we're actually sharing, has power. There's definite power in what we're sharing, and that should come across, and we should know that. And then the other part that I noticed actually besides was like the driving out of demons and anointing many sick people. I mean, that's an extension of the power, but also that requires faith. Sharing the good news requires faith, faith that we go out and not have to be, not overthink things, not have to, like, prepare everything, and then faith that God actually does way more than what we could ever imagine, and we just don't expect, I would say I don't expect it as I should.
That's really, really great. So many important things. I mean, Jesus had the authority, and he gives it to them, right? And this is good news, right? It's not, sorry, is it my hair? It's always the hair. So Jesus has the authority, he gives it to us, and the good news there is that, you know, I know you, you know me. The disciples, as this gospel goes on, are going to get more and more dull. They're going to be more and more sort of confused and inept, for lack of a better word. But praise be to God that he uses people like them and people like us, because it's his authority, not ours.
Yeah, so I think the thing that stuck out to me was the leading by example, you know, and in contrast to what the Pharisees and a lot of the religious leaders were doing at the time. You know, he sent them out and he said, you know, don't take anything, don't make a scene. You're really coming in humility. You're dependent. And I just think the contrast to what that often looks like, they just said they were leading and speaking through their own example of faith and trust.
Verse 7, it says that Christ sent them out two by two. And in the footnote of my Bible translation, it indicates that this could be the author of Mark referencing in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. And so that just really stood out to me of Christ saying, you know, I'm not sending you out to do this alone. One, because he's giving them the power and authority to go out and share this good news. But he's also saying, take one of your fellow believers, one of your fellow followers with you, so that you can remind each other of what I have taught you as you're going forth and sharing the good news.
Cindy, when you were talking about cold caller scripts, well, it prompted two thoughts, because we work with sales and marketing teams, so we do a lot of work with cold callers. And the one was this, just do it. You gotta start to share the good news. I don't, because I work in a business environment. But the other thing you said about the bright, shiny rays of the good news, a lot of the things people in the commercial world celebrate, whether it's diversity or empowering women or collaboration in a sort of more other-oriented way, are all Christian ideas. And so people are kind of living into Christianity without giving it credit. And I was just thinking about my opening script, like, hey, did you know that was rooted in Jesus's thinking? So some prompts for me.
Yes. I just reading the passage saying, this is a whole operation. You know, Jesus calling the 12, you know, it matters to him. To win lost souls. And there's a song that came to mind, people need the Lord. People are lost. It reminded me of, unless you are really touched by that, you really want to understand. I remember my mom, before she passed, suffered from Alzheimer's disease for a long time. And she got lost one day. And we had a whole operation going. My sister and I, we posted her pictures everywhere. We went into neighborhoods that we would have never gone into, and asking people, have you seen my mother? She was lost. It happened around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was 10 o'clock at night. We still had not found her. And we were out there looking for her. And finally, you know, I went to a police station, a hospital, veteran place, and they looked in their computer and saw that there was a woman brought into a hospital, and that was my mom. But it's just, I remember my dad crying, and so everybody was out there looking for her because she was lost. And that was my mother and someone I loved, and just thinking that there are people who are lost. She was lost only for an evening, but there are people whose soul will be lost forever.
What struck me right from the beginning is that they were sent out with nothing, and no encumbrances. And the only thing they had was the expectation that this would work. That, you know, they weren't expecting to be, they weren't geared up to have this to be a fight. It was, we're going out and people are going to want to listen to us. Not everybody, but certainly they're not walking out with all kinds of stuff to try to convince people. They're just saying, here we are and we're talking to you. We're telling you that there's good news and that people will listen to them. I think this is that fear that we have when we go and try something new is something that interferes with us. I know it certainly does with me. But that's what struck me at first, is that they were sent out knowing that this is going to work. And if it doesn't, walk away from it. But no condemnation, no nothing. Just go out there and try it.
Yeah, sure. I wasn't sure if you wanted the minute first, or I can just jump in. So just two quick things jumped out for me. One is humility. It's related to dependence. It's related to accepting rejection. Being humble in this space, I think, is a theme. And then the second is, I just love this notion of the authority and the power, kind of like what Doris was just sharing, just trusting. You know, trusting God in the process. So those two things stick out. And then I was going to mention, we're not supposed to add anything else, but at the very end of the passage, they talk about serving, healing, driving out demons. I think that also is an important part of sharing, creating that credibility that you care, you love. I mean, and you don't do it for that reason. You love them. So I think... And that's also related to humility as well, but that's another piece I noticed.
I'm going to put proximate, getting back to Renee's, because you have to be close to someone. You're going to anoint their head with you.
Good morning. I just had a quick thought about how we can share the good news better. Often people can feel steamrolled by people, as they call it, pushing the the Bible down their throat or something like that, and that can leave a bitter taste in people's mouth, and just have them feel badly about that whole experience. And I think that when we speak to people, we really need to be listening for the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance, because he will show us things about the person and lead us in conversation with them. And really, it's better if you have a conversation than it is to just dump a whole bunch of stuff on somebody and have it be, have them respond in maybe a negative way.
Yeah, I'm gonna catch trying to. Jesus would be the Holy Spirit to help us. So much. Wow. All right. We're going to keep thinking. Let me wrap it up. Okay. I forgot I'm not this way. Oh, Carlise. Yes.
I almost didn't, but I feel the Spirit moving, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think of everything on this board as you have everything you need to go ahead and share the good news. You are already in a sphere with people who probably need healing, so you're approximated to those people. You know how to share information because you share information about everything else. Why not this? And you don't need to come up with all these plans. You don't need to put on an extra tunic. The Spirit of God is already in you. You just need to depend on it. So you have everything you need to do this.